When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness, dial it up, or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla. Or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news, Thursday, the 15th of January. And you do wonder, as a Man United fan, what worse could happen today? I mean, even last night, Garnacho's scoring a couple of bloody goals, isn't he? But I'll tell you what could get worse. Jason Wilcox is apparently willing to open the checkbook for Michael Carrick. We'll talk about that. Also, a little bit of an update on Bruno Fernandes from Simon Stone. A few other bits as well. I want to talk about United being broken. Obviously, lots going on around that. And a few other bits as well. And Cobby Maynor, I want to talk about him if we have time at the end. But let's get straight into Manchester United. So the rumour this morning, I've seen it in a few papers, is that Jason Wilcox is now willing to back Michael Carrick in the transfer window for, drum roll please, you won't believe this. No, it's not a goalkeeper. A winger. We're going to go and try and buy a left winger in January, in the middle of January, desperately seeking, not Susan, but a winger. I just, every day I think, what today are they going to do that's going to make me absolutely get even more embarrassed by this Pratt club? Because it really is Jim Pratcliffe, isn't it? You know, I am actually going to christen him as Sir Jim Pratcliffe. That is official today, 15th of January, 2026, Sir Jim Pratcliffe. That's done, because he is in charge of the football side of things. And as much as I think Wilcox is an idiot and Berarda's no better and the club's in a right mess, I can't believe that they might even consider this. So let me get my head around this. Man United, tell Ruben Amorim, we are not backing you in the January transfer market, even though we're 1 year into a 3-year project. We're not going to back you anymore and we want you to go to a back four. Amorim says, you're idiots. That's not very nice. You're fired. We interview Ollie. We interview Carrick. We give it to Carrick. And then we go, Michael, guess what? Not only are you interim until the end of the season, we're also going to buy you a winger as well. And Carrick goes, why, hey, man? I don't know whether he speaks like that. He is from the north. Carrick goes, but I want a midfielder. No. We're going to buy you a winger. We're going to buy you a winger, right? Do you know who it is? Nope, not figured that out. Just, you know, we've got 2 weeks. We've got some money. We'll just chuck it around somewhere and see where it lands. Yeah, that's the plan. Don't think we need a midfielder? No. You don't talk, Michael. Don't talk like the last one. I'll tell you what. You're on your final warning this morning, Michael. Now go and wash my car, because if I hear another word about midfield and transfers, you're gone. Now Ollie's still there. Ollie's still there. And don't you think I'm not stupid enough to make myself look an idiot and sack an interim and get another one in? If I ever hear anything about a midfielder again, Michael, you know, you're on your last chance. You're on your last chance. You can tell everybody else that, right? So, could this be true? Anything can be true with Manchester United. Anything ridiculous can be true with Manchester United at the moment. I suppose my fear around this would be the logic is we tried to sign Semenyo, who is a winger, and he said no. And whoever was behind that is now going, well, we still need a winger, which I suppose is logical. You know, I do get the fact that you went for Semenyo, you didn't get him. You went for Kenda, you didn't get him. They're both wide players. And you went for Kenda after Dorgu, by the way. Some people think Kenda was before Dorgu was after. So you can understand the logic, in a sense, of going for a winger. However, they haven't got a bloody clue who to go for. Like, there's 2 weeks left of the window and you haven't got a clue who to go for. And also, the big one for me is the manager is not the manager. The manager is an interim called Michael Carrick, who hasn't even managed the game yet. Why would you sack Ruben Amorim for asking for players when he's the manager, and then bring an interim in and back him. That, to me, is just wild. Absolutely wild. However, what it probably does display, if it happens, and look, that's a big if, but if they did sign any player in January, does that not reveal the big master plan anyway? Interim's just a bitch. You know, it's a puppet. You know, it's go and do that. You know, the real power is Wilcox, isn't it? So has Wilcox now got his way? Remove Amorim, remove power, bring in a puppet, and then I'll make the signings I want to make. And that's the scary thing. Are we now in the, you know, are we now more in the hands of Wilcox? Maybe that was the plan all along. I'll remove Amorim. I can dictate the formation. I can bring in the players I want. And the nightmare continues. And maybe that's what it is. Because I'll tell you for free. Well, we are free. It's YouTube. But I'll tell you for free. There is no power but Jason Wilcox now. Like Michael Carrick. I saw what Roy Keane said about the interims. And he was like, look, I like Johnny Evans. But when he's never coached. Johnny Evans has never coached. And he's right. And he says, oh, you know, and now we're in the hands of the guru, Steve Holland. Exactly. Who the fuck's he? What's he got to do with Man United? You know, there's a lot of inexperience. There's nobody in the coaching setup that's got the power or authority or longevity to say to Jason Wilcox, what do you think you're doing? Basically, he's got a bunch of puppets. You know, it's Kermit the Frog, Gonzo, Fozzie Bear. He's got them all. And he can play whatever tune he wants. You know, he probably plays the tune, it's the Muppet Show. Dun, 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 dun. He's dancing out. Dun, dun, come on, follow me. Dun, dun, dun. It's time to get things started on the Muppet Show tonight. Mm-mm-mm. We'll start with Jason Wilcox and we've got Steve Holland. I'm riffing, but you know what I mean. It's the Muppet Show and the head Muppet is going to be, I don't know whether there was a head Muppet actually, but the guy who's pulling the strings, Jim Henson, is Jim Pratlin. It's Jason Wilcox. So, look, they've said they're not buying anybody in January. That's what they've always said. I suspect we will get linked to players in the next 2 weeks because Man United have got social media targets to hit. And Man United saying they're not buying anybody kills their social media. So they need, you know, they need to give Romano and Ornstein something. So I'm pretty sure we will get linked to players. There's 2 weeks of the window left. United won't like not doing anything for 2 weeks simply because they need to get the, you know, shirt sales and PR and everything. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get linked to players. Whether we actually buy anybody or not, I don't know. Look, if we buy a midfielder, we need a midfielder. If we go and buy a winger and we don't buy a midfielder, I just think it's complete and utter pratism. And I don't even think that's a word. But pratism, in my mind, is just completely and utterly illogical stupidity that makes absolutely no sense. When you're being run by idiots, maybe it does. But we should not be buying a winger now because we missed out on Semenyo. I mean, it's like, I would say the left winger market is like the manager market. You know, there will be better managers available in the summer and there will be better wingers available in the summer. Whereas the midfield market, I think there's loads. And there's loads. Left wing's a little bit more specialist. It's a little bit more niche. There's not a lot around at the moment. But midfield, there's bloody loads of them. So, look, we'll have to wait and see what happens with this. But, I mean, the ridiculous thing is as well, and I've not heard anybody say this, we bid £60 million for Semenyo. He's a very good player. He's playing for Man City against us on Saturday. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go with that money with 2 weeks left in January? And why would you spend it? You know, if I'm Thomas Tuchel or Glasner or De Zerbi and I take that job in the summer and I go, you've just spent £50 million on a winger in January on an interim. What the fuck are you doing? Why did you do that? I understand you're going for a midfielder because your midfield's crap and you've actually helped me out there. But why have you gone and got the left winger 4 months before I start? Why have you spent that money before you even go? What's that all about, you know? And I think that's really stupid. Ladios says Gary Neville wants Pochettino at United. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Look, I think that the only reason they go and buy the left winger now is because Wilcox is running the show, which is what he's always wanted to do, which is what the interview says. I'm a manager at heart. You know, I can't help sticking my nose in. Well, you can help sticking your nose in. I can cure that one. Anyone got any ways to stop Jason Wilcox sticking his nose in Manchester United management? I've got quite a few, but answers on a postcard for that one. Look, I don't want, if I'm being blunt, I don't want us to buy a left winger in January. I really don't. I think it's too important a position. We don't know who the next manager is. Glasner plays three at the back. You know, we don't know whether Carrick's going to keep the job. We shouldn't be buying the left winger in January. Midfielder, absolutely. Don't buy a winger in January. And also, I've heard a few people blaming Amrin for this. We saw Garnacho score a couple of goals last night for Chelsea. Yeah, kicking the nuts, definitely. We got rid of Sancho, Garnacho, Antony and Rashford all in the summer. Four wingers. Whatever you think about them, we moved on four wingers, right? Some people, they were called the bomb squad, remember?
Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness, dial it up, or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla. Or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Manchester United Football Club were happy for that stupid name to be utilised around their so-called amazing removal of the bomb squad, yeah? I hated the term. I hated the term because for me, they weren't the bomb squad. The bomb squad was the shit that blew up our chances of winning the Europa League. And none of them started that final. The bomb squad to me was Man United's manipulation of players that weren't really part of the team last year, but let's get rid of them all and pretend they were. They needed to go, but calling them the bomb squad, well, they didn't even play. Most of them didn't play apart from Garnacho. The bomb squad is still there. The players that have sacked multiple managers are still there. So I never really liked the term the bomb squad, but Man United were very happy for the media to use it. Oh, we like that one. We love that one, Laurie. You know, I don't know whether Laurie Whitwell said it, but, you know, Simon, whoever, James, whoever. They loved that term. They're now looking to buy a winger, and they've already bid for one winger at £60 million. You sold four in the summer, and you were happy to call them the bomb squad in the summer, and now they're trying to make out he was Amrin. Hold on a minute. Your transfer network, your transfer board, your transfer committee, Amrin doesn't have the final say. Amrin didn't want Zesco. Amrin didn't want Lemens. You overruled him. So I don't think Amrin was there saying, I'm in charge, get rid of all the wingers. I think you lot were all signing it off as well. And you recruited Amrin. So, you know, we've got to be very, very careful of this spin. Well, we need to buy a winger because Amrin sold them all. Well, did he? Were you on the committee? Did you have a say? Did you recruit Amrin in the first place? Yeah, you know, you can't keep blaming Amrin. He's not here anymore. You recruited him. You sacked him. You made those decisions. And I'm tired of people blaming Amrin for things that Wilcox and Berada and Pratcliffe are actually responsible for. They recruited Amrin and they sacked Amrin. Whether you wanted Amrin to go or not, they brought him in. They sacked him. And everything that's happened is because of them. We sold four wingers in the summer, and now we're trying to buy one. Explain that one to me. And also, they couldn't get rid of Garnacho quick enough. They couldn't get rid of Garnacho quick enough because it was pure profit. That'll help with the interest payments. They couldn't get rid of Rashford quick enough because his wage is massive. They couldn't get rid of Antony quick enough because he was on a big wage as well. And also with Jadon Sancho. So look, Amrin, I'm sure, was like, yeah, they're not part of my plans. But the club were massively part of pushing them out the door as well because of money. So look, we probably are going to need a left winger because we haven't really got any and we want to play a 4-3-3. But we need to buy midfielders 100%. Get your comments in. Just on Garnacho, by the way, a little bit topical. Do I have any thoughts on him scoring a couple of goals against Arsenal last night? Not really. If he wasn't such a knobhead, I'd probably wish him all the best. But walking around in a Villa kit did it for me. I backed that lad loads. loads, loads and loads and loads. But what I will say is, I always said, I think he's got a high ceiling and I think he's got the ability to be one of the best wingers in Europe. And that was when he was at Man United. So I can't be a hypocrite and say, well, no, he's a load of shit. I think he's got a load of shit in his head. I think he's a very immature prat. But if he is in the right environment and he applies himself, he could end up being a decent player. But we've already seen that Chelsea's been sat on the bench a lot. Ultimately, he's going to score in some games. He's not, the way I look at it, and I said it on That's Football last night, he's not totally shit. He's a bit of a shithead, in my opinion, but he is not totally shit as a player. He has got talent, and if he applies himself and grows up, then he could be quite a decent player. But I don't regret Man United selling him. Absolutely not. The minute he walks around in that Villa kit, you disrespect Manchester United Football Club. And I don't care whether he's aiming it at, you know, the Glazers or Amrim. Ultimately, you aimed it at the fans inadvertently or purposely. And when you do that, you're a knobhead. And, you know, I don't wish him all the best because he disrespected Man United. He still tries to pretend he likes Man United by liking posts and stuff. But you walked around in a Villa kit, mate. You walk around in a Villa kit. So for me, I'm very glad he's gone. If he does well for Chelsea, it doesn't make us selling him wrong. His behaviour in the summer was ridiculous and he deserved to be sold and he deserved to be booted. And if he goes on and becomes a top, top player, well, whose fault's that? It's certainly not Man United's. He behaved like an idiot. We shouldn't have kept him. If we'd have kept him after what he did in the summer, people would be going crazy saying, oh, player power. We had to let him go. We had to let him go. I mean, I don't know what went on behind the scenes, but we had to let him go, ultimately. And if he grows up at Chelsea and becomes a good player at Chelsea, I'm sure Chelsea fans will ridicule us. But at the end of the day, what scenario could we have kept him? You know, there wasn't one. The minute he's walking around in a Villa kit, behaving like a twat, I think he did get too big. I think his ego did get too big for him. And if Chelsea can, you know, calm that ego down, they might end up with a good player. But we can't regret that. We can't regret that. We can't regret Rashford either. You know, Rashford wasn't good in a Man United shirt for 18 months. He wasn't good in a Man United shirt for a year before Amrim came in. And I have heard in relation to Rashford that from day one, Amrim was sort of pushed or encouraged to remove Rashford. It happened very, very quickly. I think the club wanted him out because they wanted to save money. And he hadn't been playing particularly well as well. And I think they wanted Amrim to be the guy to just not give him a clean slate. Anthony, I don't think that was a mistake. And I don't think Sancho was a mistake. So ultimately, you know, in many ways, you know, I wouldn't take any of them back. Has Wilcox had a stroke, deprived oxygen to the brain, says Irish Whiskey. Daniel Thompson says, I hope you're well, Mark. Sir Jim Radcliffe, the board would put a chocolate bar on a volcano and wonder why it melted. They're not. They're that incompetent, beyond desperate for midfielders, says Daniel. Hope you're doing well this morning. Thanks for your super chat. Sanil says, in a likely scenario, should we lose the next two games? Top four is done and we should use the remaining games as pre-season for the next season, says Sanil. Let me have a quick look at that. Lose the next two games. You stand still on 32. Chelsea, I know, have got Brentford in one of their games. It depends, really. It depends what Newcastle do and Chelsea do. They're the only teams that can take away top six from us. I don't think Brentford will. In fact, Chelsea are playing Brentford, so that sort of helps us. I can't remember who Newcastle have got. I feel like Newcastle are going to Wolves on Saturday. Liverpool have got an easy game at home to Burnley. Yeah, I mean, look, these are not... This is why... I mean, you do make a good point, Sanil. Like, this is why the next two games are really, you know... The last 10 games are going to be a killer. You can't keep playing Leeds, Burnley, Wolves, Everton and not win Bournemouth, West Ham, because at some point you're going to stop playing those teams and you're going to start playing Sunderland, Fulham, you know, Newcastle, etc. And that's when everyone else is going to play Wolves and Everton. If they beat them, that's why it's a 38-game season. The balance becomes there. But look, we've got Man City, obviously, and Arsenal in our next two. Chelsea have got Brentford and Crystal Palace, one home, one away. Liverpool have got Burnley and Bournemouth, one at home, one away. Newcastle have got Wolves away. And then they've got... can't see Newcastle's next game. Villa at home. So, look, it's unlikely that they're all going to win two in a row and we're going to lose two in a row. So, I don't. My short answer is no. If we lose the next two, I don't think we're out of Europe or anything like that. But, you know, realistically, it's going to be difficult. But I'm quite confident about Saturday. I've said that before. Ray says, this board is all about shifting blame. 2 years of them, and we've seen that. They have been exposed. Thank you, Ray. River says, has to be Stevie Wonder running this club. We need a bloody midfielder. Can't believe they don't see it. 2 years, no midfielder, and I'm sick of it, says River. Any truth with the interest in Alex Scott from Bournemouth, says Joshua. Yeah, I've read about the Alex Scott rumours from Bournemouth, and he's a very good player. I really like this player. I know he was at Bristol City before. I know a few people from Bristol who were saying to me he's the real deal. Obviously, he's gone to Bournemouth and done really well. He doesn't always start for Bournemouth, but I think he came on as a sub for us, a sub against us, didn't he? Because they got an injury to, I can't remember who it was, one of their midfielders. But he's almost Carrick-esque in a way. He's quite, you know, he's got that sort of conduction midfielder about him. I like him, but I mean, it's not a player till the summer. And it's another learner driver. I mean, let's be honest. It probably, Joshua, fits Manchester United perfectly because it's another learner driver. And I've got to say, like, the short-term thing we've done with Michael Carrick and his inexperienced men around him is...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Not the short-term thing I'm talking about. Somebody said to me last night, you know, you said you want short-term and then you said you can't go short-term. Depends what short-term is. Short-term experience is what I want. You know, short-term, you know, I would take somebody like Ruben Neves for a couple of years, even though, well, longer than that because he's 29. I think that type of player that hits the ground running, that type of manager that hits the ground running is essential for Manchester United. I mean, like, Man United are obsessed with the Chelsea model, aren't they? And I watched Chelsea last night. They lost to Arsenal because Arsenal are more experienced. The goalkeeper made two stupid mistakes. I've been saying about Chelsea for years, they need an experienced goalkeeper, an experienced centre-back and an experienced striker. And I think if Chelsea had those three, they'd win the league. But they don't. They only buy under 25s. So they'll never have the experienced goalkeeper. They'll never have the experienced striker. They think their inexperienced goalkeeper will become an experienced goalkeeper, but he won't because he'll keep making mistakes. He'll keep getting ridiculed and he won't become an aura-led experienced goalkeeper. You have to go and buy those players. You know, it's hard. You can't just say if we buy everybody under 25, by the time they're 28, they're all going to be experienced world-class players. That's not how it works. You know, a lot of experienced players now are experienced top-class players now because they were developed by experienced top-class players. You know, if you think about it, Jude Bellingham is probably going to end up being a player who's 26, 27, a top class experienced player. But why is that? Because he's surrounded by players that he can learn from, you know, whether it's at Dortmund or whether it's at Real Madrid. You don't just become a learner driver and then naturally, because you're 26, suddenly go, I'm an experienced world-class player. You have to be nurtured and developed. And that can be by experienced coaches like Ancelotti. It can be experienced players on the pitch like the Rudigers, etc. like that. But it can't just be I'm 26, I'm now experienced and world-class. You know, it's like Kevin and Perry, isn't it? When Kevin, you know, he's a bloody annoying teenager, pops his cherry, wakes up the next day, oh, hello, mum, hello, dad, I'm going to go down to the library today. You know, it doesn't work like that. But Chelsea seem to think it does, and United seem to want to think it does as well. You have to have some short-term experience, and that's a manager, that's a couple of players. Man United need it. They really do. And how old was Modric when Real Madrid bought him, says Ricky? Exactly. So I like Scott, Joshua, but again, it's just another person. Sean says, not one person on the overlap panel today said anything about Sir Jim Radcliffe, Berada or Wilcox. Just because Amrim name-dropped Gary, they are blaming it on him. Well, look, on that, I mean, obviously last night, me and River had a little bit of a set to about retweeting something. I now know what that's all about, by the way. So from our point of view, we have a bit of a relationship with the 58 in the sense that I don't think they massively like us, and I don't massively like the fact that they don't understand what we are. But mutually, it's like if they're doing stuff, we will promote it and push it. So we have that relationship where we don't need to start doing anything independently in relation to starting things up on social media. And as I said to you last night, there was a protest a few years ago, and then some fans on social media organized their own protest a couple of days or a week before, and it just caused a load of shit. It became a bit of like a cheerleading contest when actually we need uniformity and everyone united. So when River said about retweeting something last night, I'd seen something about United is broken, but it felt to me like it was a bit social media led. So that's what I mean. I don't want to start pitting one against the other. You know, it's a big community. Anyway, when I finished the show last night, I had a message from somebody from the 58 saying that they've retweeted it and they're happy with it. So we have retweeted it now. So this is good. This is good because that's exactly what we want. You know, whether it started on social media or not, there is a unity from the 58 and that to push that, and then we will push that 100%. All I will say is I'm very aware that the protests have been led by the 58 and we're not about to start putting noses out of joint. Like, if they're happy with what's going on, we will retweet it and get involved in it as well. I think that's the way to be because they have run the protests very well over the years and that is their thing. And I definitely don't want to go down the road of promoting other stuff that's not been, you know, backed by them. And we are in that position. And I think the big positive about it, and credit to everybody who's involved in this, is that that unity is really important. I think some people get really passionate and they run off with their own project and then it pisses off other people and then the Glazers win because they've got people fighting against each other. It has to be all agreed together. And this United is broken thing looks like it is. And that's very, very good. And I'll tell you what also is good, and I've noticed it over the week. Remember last week we were saying, we were talking a lot about Wilcox and Berada and Sir Jim. And nobody else really was. Nobody was. No journalists, not really. Content creators, websites, nobody. I am noticing this week, a lot of them are now talking about it. It's almost like a light bulb's gone off in their head. I need to talk about this because my audience wants to talk about it. And normally they're not talking about it because they're on the Glazer gravy train. You know, they don't want to upset the Glazers. And I think that's a testament to you lot because they're realizing they do need to talk about it. Because if they don't get talking about it, they're going to get shit. I got sent a video the other day and I read the comments and it was, you know, considering that's a different community to ours and presumably they've got their own loyal following. I was reading the comments and it was like, you couldn't have missed more if you'd wear a blindfold, you Glazerite shits. And that's their community. And it was comment after comment after comment after comment under their video going, literally destroying them for being like behind, you know, subtly behind the Glazers. You're only saying it because someone's told you. So there is a lot of movement at the moment and I'm never going to not champion that. So I think you should all be very proud of the fact that there seems to be a real momentum behind it. How long it lasts? Look, if we beat Man City on Saturday, it probably falls down completely, doesn't it? I mean, Terry asked me yesterday, if Carrick wins 10 games in a row, does he get the job? And I said, absolutely shouldn't, but I guarantee I'll probably be singing a song about Carrick in a bus as well because we're stupid. We are. We are manipulated and we've been manipulated for 20 years. But look, hopefully the momentum can carry on because regardless of what happens on the pitch, we will be back here again. Even if United win the next 5 games, we will be back here again. You know, it's the history proves that. Ten Hag, first season, top 4, cup, sacked. Mourinho, first season, Champions League football, 2 cups, sacked. Ollie won 8 games in a row, sacked. It's not how it starts, it's how it ends. But we'll all fall into the trap again, but it won't matter. You know, maybe Michael Carrick might win a game for the next 6 months. He might win every game. He'll still be gone in 18 months. It's the cycle is the same, but we fall into the trap of positivity. If we win a couple of games, yes, but we've been down this road so many times. The Lads and Dad Show says Anthony Gordon, Noah Lang or Liao for me, says in relation to the wing. I mean, I love Anthony Gordon. I don't know whether Man United could get him. River says Atletico Madrid are looking at João Gomes at Wolves. Why are we not looking at it? I did see that yesterday, River. So obviously Conor Gallagher has gone to Spurs. That gives them some money. They're now looking at João Gomes from Wolves. Look, I'm not saying that João Gomes is the right player for Manchester United, but beggars can't be choosers. I think it's, you know what, when it comes to midfielders, I've sort of figured out what Man United are doing, right? There's a lot of clubs out there who, you know, maybe they want a roast chicken, right, for Sunday. Remember, roast chicken is the analogy for a midfielder, right? And some clubs are going in Tesco, in Sainsbury's, Aldi, and they're getting a good chicken for the weekend, right? Man United are going, no. We're waiting for Waitrose to open. And then they go into Waitrose, they pick the chicken, and then they go to the counter and they're like, oh, I haven't got the money. Let me go back and get my money. And then they go back and try and find some money, and they come back into Waitrose and they've sold out of chickens. And then they go to Aldi and Sainsbury's and everyone else and they've sold out now. And I feel like that's what Man United are doing. They're turning their nose up when beggars can't be choosers because they think they're shopping in Waitrose, where they probably haven't got the money. And even if they have got the money, they'll be bought by somebody else. And I think that's what we're doing in the midfield. You know, I'm not saying João Gomes is the answer or Conor Gallagher's the answer, but I definitely think we should be looking at them in relation to who we've been for the last 2 years. We're certainly not a Champions League club. We're not even a top four club. And yet we think we're going to get people like Adam Wharton or Elliot Anderson. We think we're getting that level of player. We think we can shop at Waitrose. And actually, we really should be shopping at Aldi or wherever because you can get some good deals there that will make us better and feed the club. But we're not. And I think that's sort of what I've come to terms with now. They're saying no to Conor Gallagher, Ruben Neves, João Gomes. They're saying no to all these players because they think they're getting Elliot Anderson because they think that's what they're capable of doing. I don't know how this is. I having a bit of an argument with Terry yesterday on his show. I genuinely don't know how we get Elliot Anderson. I don't, right? When you look at the facts, right? You've got to be talking to him now. Well, certainly March at the latest.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil. More miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com. Or select Walmart stores. Purelator, keep it purring.
In March, Carrick will be here. You won't be able to tell him who the manager's going to be. In March, we won't be able to tell him whether we're in Europe or not. In March, people like Man City will be able to talk to him, will be in Europe, and will be able to tell him who the manager's going to be. Also, to get him, you're going to have to give him a good wage because he's going to basically be taking a step down compared to going to Man City or Arsenal. We don't want to break our wage structure. So I don't even know how we get him unless hidden in his parents' bloody loft is some Man United duvet and pictures of, you know, David Beckham, because that's how we got Cunha and Mbeumo. So unless he's a childhood Man United fan, I don't know what we've got. We don't pay stupid wages anymore. We can't tell him we're in Europe. We can't tell him who the manager's going to be. I don't know why our policy is we're not going for those types of players because we want the best. And yet, I don't know how you do it. $14 million to sack a manager and get a winger, says Keel Robinson. Will you do Cunha as the next 10 if Bruno leaves, says John. I think he's got to be the next number 10. However, just on Bruno Fernandes, great point. Let me just bring this in. Don't want to misquote myself here. So, well done to Mazraoui as well. He is into the final with Morocco. They beat Nigeria, I think, last night. And I think they're going to play Senegal. Senegal beat Egypt. So Mazraoui is in the final. which isn't a massive problem for us anyway, because he was always going to miss the Man City game. But I think even playing the final, he should be back for the Arsenal game. So not necessarily the end of the world. Bruno Fernandes has no plans to push for a transfer from Man United this month. Despite the current upheaval at the club, the midfielder remains committed to Manchester United. That's from Simon Stone. I mean, look, ultimately, slow sports news. Yeah, Bruno was never going to go in January. It's the reason he didn't go in the summer is because he's chosen to spend a year more in Europe ahead of the World Cup. There's no logical reason for him to go to Saudi now ahead of the World Cup. His fitness levels, his speed is going to be a lot quicker in the Premier League than it will be if he goes to Saudi. I'm sure the Saudi league would go for him if he said he wanted to go, and it probably wasn't out of the realms of possibility if he was completely fed up. But I think for himself, I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think he'll know the best move for him is to wait until the summer and then move. And I think that's what will happen. But I never really thought he would go in January. Tipsy says, purely hypothetical, Mark, if Carrick went unbeaten playing good football, would he not be deserving of the full-time job? I don't like those hypotheticals because it plants the seed in the mind of morons that, yeah, let's see. I don't think anybody, in my opinion, and I'm allowed it, I don't think anybody should be thinking a scenario where Carrick gets the job. That's my stance on it, all right? And I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't matter. Ollie won his first 8 games in a row. Carrick's not going to do that. So even if Carrick won 6 in a row, it's not going to be. He's not winning 8 games in a row. It's just not going to happen. And Solskjaer did. And we gave him the job and it was a mistake. So whatever Carrick does between now and the end of the season, that we shouldn't be fooled by it. Because we've seen those types of starts and, you know, manager bounce or proving Amrin wrong or, you know, the World Cup's coming up or whatever the reason is, that team needs a rebuild. And the question is, if you're rebuilding a team, would you trust Carrick and Wilcox to build it? And I wouldn't. So whatever Carrick gets out of this team doesn't really matter to me because I don't trust this team. This team needs major renovation. And the question is not whether Carrick can get results with this team, is whether he can build another team. And I don't think that's the right choice. Jonathan Woodgate, Johnny Evans, Steve Holland, these are not names that are inspiring. I'm sorry. They're very, very inexperienced or meh. So, but I want Man United to get good results and I want us to get into Europe. I think it's really, really important, but I think it has to be a red line of we're not crossing it. No matter what happens, we are not crossing it. Because even if Michael Carrick wins a load of games, is he better than Thomas Tuchel or Ancelotti or any other experienced coach? No. And that's what you've got to be going for. Do you see the usual panic signing on January 31st as United? The reason we led on that this morning is I genuinely do believe that there is going to be some links to signings over the next 2 weeks for Man United. I think if we do sign anybody, it has to be a midfielder. And if we sign anybody else, it's an absolute joke because it's just Jason Wilcox in charge. I wouldn't let that prat spend another penny. I really wouldn't. In fact, literally, I wouldn't. I'd say you go outside for a piss. You're not pissing in these Carrington toilets. But I wouldn't. But if we do buy anyone, it'll be Wilcox because Carrick doesn't have the authority. Carrick has no authority on transfers at all. So if we buy anybody, it's Wilcox. And if Sir Jim Pratcliffe thinks that's a good idea, well, you know. The board is all about shafting. Blame 2 years of them. And then we've seen that they've been exposed, says Ray. Thank you. Appreciate that. Roy Keane was brilliant on the new overlap, says Rajaf. I've not watched it all, but I've seen clips of it where he's basically saying, you know, United DNA and all this, that and the other. But you know, Steve Holland, Johnny Evans has never had any training. You know, I'd say, look, King Zuma's a legend. He's just gifted 10 memberships, by the way. I don't know. Absolute legends, King. I don't know what Roy Keane thinks, but to be honest with you, it must be quite frustrating because he has done coaching. You know, he coached at Sunderland. He did a good job there. He was reasonable at Ipswich. He was assistant coach at Ireland, so he can coach. You could argue that Carrick's CV is not as good as Keane's, and neither's Ollie's. In fact, you could definitely argue that Keane's got a better CV out of anybody that was interviewed. But they won't interview him because of Sir Alex. And that's Man United for you. You know, I personally think If you're looking to be the best at something, you cannot look through that. You've got to look through that. And Man United are looking through this all the time because we don't like him. We can't talk to him. He says we can't talk to him. And I don't know whether Roy Keane is frustrated because he doesn't get spoken to, but maybe doesn't want it. But it probably does piss him off the fact that he wouldn't get spoken to because of, you know, the way the club is run. And he's right. You know, he's right. You know, are we going for the best in class or are we going for the thing that suits the club the best because they're, you know, controllable? Saying Wilcox three times equals climax but never comes out. It's a bit weird, Amit. Chris says, I'm a bit behind you, but your point about experienced players makes sense. Delo is a perfect example of how experience isn't just due to age. Well, yeah, I mean, look, you're absolutely spot on, Chris. I mean, Delo is 26. He's going to be 27 in 2 months, right? I think this is perfect. This is why the Chelsea and Man United model, in my opinion, doesn't work. They're obsessed with buying players under 25 who they can promote and, you know, nurture and turn them into world-class players, right? Look at Delo. We've had Delo at the football club since he was 19. He's going to be 27 in a couple of months. He should now be an experienced top-class leader. I look at him, he's still a prospect. At 27, he's still a prospect because we haven't developed him. So I think you're absolutely spot on, Christopher. You know, Delo is a prime example of just because you buy a talented young player doesn't mean at 25, 26, they're going to be a talented, experienced player. He's still not consistent, is he? Hi, Mark. First super chat here. Roy Keane destroying Neville on the overlap about United's recent decisions was box office very refreshing. And that's from Nens. And I need to go and watch it properly then. Did they pick Carrick because he was a centre midfielder and they think he can train Ugarte and Maynard to avoid buying a new centre midfielder to secure? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that, but I don't necessarily know. You think Gary won't confront the board because of Salford, says Dev. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but look, Rio Ferdinand would basically kiss Jason Wilcox's shoes because he works for the club, doesn't he? He's linked up with the club and he's out there doing YouTube stuff. And, you know, he's the worst of the lot, in my opinion, because he's literally a paid influencer for the club. And then he wants to be talking to the fans like he's a, you know, people should listen to him. So, you know, I think Rio's bad. In relation to Neville, look, he interviewed Sir Jim. Maybe he's got a relationship with Sir Jim. I think people like that should be using that influence for good. You know, if you've got the ear of Sir Jim Radcliffe, then there's certain things that should be said. I mean, look, he said Pochettino. I wouldn't be surprised if we went for Pochettino. I've said that to you like last week. I said keep your eye on Pochettino. I mean, Pochettino, in my opinion, is better than Glasner. Pochettino, in my opinion, is definitely better than a Southgate or a De Zerbi or anyone like that. I don't know whether Pochettino is the right guy, but he has got experience. For me, Pochettino is not where Ancelotti is. He's probably not where Tuchel is, but he's definitely above some of the people we're considering. At this stage, maybe Pochettino's not the worst shout in the world. He's sort of just below where I would go, but ahead of some of the people I think we'll end up going with. Cheers from LA. I've lost track of the youth teams. Are there players we could perhaps promote into the midfield? No, they're not ready, Red Devil. They're not ready. Oh my God. James9to9 has just gifted 50 memberships. So if you've got a badge in the chat, give James a massive shout out. You're a legend this morning, James. Thank you so much. There was something I wanted to mention there and I've completely forgotten it. What was it? It was one of your chats. Maynu. I want to talk about Maynu. That was what I wanted to talk about. Yeah. Thanks to everyone who's tuning in this morning. We're very close to 1,000 likes, so make sure you smash a like on the video. Andy Pollard with a super chat says, the board have tried everything to destroy this club. Literally everything they have done has destroyed us, says Andy. And Corny says, do you think Ollie wanted to bring Keane in, which might be one of the reasons why he didn't get the job? No. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think Ollie is stupid enough to know to do that. Look, Roy Keane can't work for Man United as the manager because Michael Carrick, I always speak to Sir Alex. Darren Fletcher, I always speak to Sir Alex. Ollie, I speak to Sir Alex. Sir Jim, I speak to Sir Alex. Jason Wilcox probably speaks to Sir Alex. Roy Keane, I ain't fucking speaking to Sir Alex, you know? So I think it will never happen. And there is this conflict in the fan base where some people think Sir Alex Ferguson has got no power, and then some people think he's got lots of power. I mean, Ben Jacobs said on this show last week, and it was verified, I think, by Sky, that Sir Alex Ferguson advised the club to go for Carrick. Well, we've gone with Carrick. So he will have, I don't know what influence Sir Alex has, but he will have influence. There's no way Roy Keane would get a job there. That to me is wrong, because that is a bit like all the problems that caused the Glazers in the first place. It's about a horse. But Sir Alex Ferguson for me is beyond reproach, because he was amazing. You wouldn't want anybody in charge of your football club other than him. You know, he is not the enemy. He's an absolute living legend. Like, oh my God, when a game doesn't go your way and he comes on, your box office, you're listening to it. When he's on the touchline, his box office. He won us multiple titles, building multiple teams. The guy is an absolute legend. But nobody is perfect. And I don't know Sir Alex, but I think he has got that stubborn streak that a lot of successful have. And Roy Keane's got it. And they just will not resolve it. I don't know whether that helps Man United. I don't know whether it helps Man United, because ultimately we can't use somebody who I think would be very useful, because he doesn't get on with somebody in the club that they listen to. So that stubbornness from both sides is very sad, because it stops certain things from happening that might actually help the club. But some people can't work past their own stubbornness, you know, and you have to respect it from both sides. But personally, I would like to see Roy Keane involved with United instead of a Michael Carrick, but we're not going to see it. Poch on the left, Chelsea, because they were getting rid of Chalobah and Gallagher against his will. He got the Champions League spot with a bloated squad. He's not a yes man, says Kai. That's what I mean. I think Poch is one of those. I mean, I'd rather go for Ancelotti. I'd probably rather go for Tuchel. But Poch sort of sits slightly below them and above the likes of De Zerbi and Glasner and everyone else, who I think haven't got the CV. Mark, you sabotaged Pochettino for Ten Hag. Yes, I did.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
I did hand this, Anderson. Well, I didn't sabotage it, because I don't have a say, but I wanted Ten Hag over Pochettino, and I would still want Ten Hag over Pochettino. I wouldn't go back to myself and say, change your mind. At that time, I didn't want Pochettino, I wanted Ten Hag. Ten Hag had done really well at Ajax, had a really exciting style of play, and that's where I felt Man United should be going, not for a, at that time, ex-Tottenham coach. You know, I wanted something that was unique for Man United. I don't think that was a mistake, and I wasn't the only one. You know, I wanted Ten Hag over Poch. Ten Hag won the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup in his first two seasons, and we qualified for the Champions League. You know, it ended badly, but the first 2 years of Ten Hag weren't that bad, you know? We must talk about Woodgate. Are we just okay with our assistant manager being a former Leeds player? Why they're collecting people from our rivals, says Marlow United. I thought you were going to talk about something else about Woodgate there, which would have been a little bit tasty for a Thursday morning. Man United's morals no longer exist. the core principles of Man United do not exist. They exist with us, but they do not exist with the ownership. So, look, Berardi's from Man City, Wilcox is from Man City and Leeds, and Blackburn, Woodgate is from Leeds. You know, this is what I mean. It no longer matters if you get a manager that's managed Chelsea or PSG or Bayern Munich. We just need to be good again. The idealistic principles of United are out the window. Reckon Rowan Atkinson would be better than Wilcox, says Amit. Would top managers want the job with these players, says Chris? I think the ego of a top manager, they will always want the job. I really, really do. Let me talk to you about Maynou then. I saw a quote from Paul Scholes saying that Maynou's lost. We've seen Michael Carrick from an interview say that he sees Maynou as a more eight than a six, which is interesting because Carrick is one of the best number sixes I've ever seen, certainly in a Man United shirt. So what's Maynou going to be at Man United? I've seen people thinking that Michael Carrick might play three at the back as well. So look, this is probably more for the Derby preview, but I wanted to talk about Maynou. Look, the logical thing for Carrick to do if he plays a midfield three is Casemiro, Maynou and Bruno. The interesting thing about that is 2 years ago, we were playing that midfield and we were getting run through game after game. It's incredible, you know, when you think about it, everything is pointing to the fact that he won't use Maynou as a six, he'll use him as an eight, which means Bruno will be the 10 and Casemiro will be the six. 2 years ago, we were playing that midfield three under Erik ten Hag and Jamie Carragher was jumping around in white trainers on Monday Night Football saying, I'm telling you, the midfield's massive. You could park a plane in it. So it's quite amazing to me that our midfield three could be the same midfield three we were picking 2 years ago. And that's not on Carrick. That's not on Amrin. That's on the board. Like, how are we picking the same midfield as 2 years ago? And it's not like it was a good midfield 2 years ago. And, you know, Casemiro's 2 years older now. But I think Maynou will get game time if we play a midfield three, because I think he will play in... There's no one else who can play that position, basically. So he has got a great opportunity, Maynou, over the next 4 months. I mean, I don't know whether he'll push himself into a World Cup squad, but that's what he's going to want to do. Absolutely. He's got so much to prove. If he plays well in that position, I don't think it reflects badly on Amrin because he never played a midfield three, but I think it's such a big opportunity for him. I think number eight probably is his best position. It's the six that worries me. He's going to help Casemiro a lot, and it's the six that worries me. He's just not quick enough. He can't pick up the... We saw it against Burnley. He doesn't pick up the runners, and with two centre-backs behind him instead of three, it worries... I mean, look, what I'm trying to say is, I think that 2 years ago, on paper, Casemiro, Maynou and Bruno looked good. In reality, they were getting absolutely overrun. And 2 years later, do I think that's going to change? Look, Michael Carrick was a very good midfielder. But, you know, I can't put a fire out with a water pistol, can I? With no water in it. This is why, to me, I just find it amazing that you would send another manager into a situation where you can just tell the midfield's so bad. It is crazy. But look, from Maynou's point of view, probably is the right position for him. But it's going to be chaos in that midfield. I mean, Bruno's not disciplined, but at least he's in the number 10. Maynou and Casemiro, it's going to be... Look, it's a great opportunity for him, but it's going to be hard work. Let's not forget, it will be very hard work. You're also going to probably have Cunha off the left, who's going to walk into your space. Because Maynou will play as the eight on the left-hand side. It's normally Casemiro central, slightly to the right, deeper. Maynou, eight, slightly to the left. And Bruno, 10, slightly to the right. You're then going to have Cunha, who's going to invert in into the space that Maynou wants to go into. But it's an opportunity. And he will get a lot of game time. Do you think they might try Martinez where Casemiro is? I think Carrick has an amazing respect for Casemiro because Casemiro was better than Carrick.
I can't see Carrick benching Casemiro. I think Casemiro will get a lot of game time. And I think he's a problem. I think the last 2 months he's been crap, to be honest. He was all right up until November when we had regular international breaks, but I don't know whether it's the frequency of the games, the fact that he's won his Brazilian team place back. Maybe he's coasting a little bit towards the World Cup. I don't know. Maybe he's like, you know, he's in the last few months of his contract. I don't know what it is, but look, maybe we'll see the early season Casemiro now. I don't know, but I don't think Carrick's going to start dropping him. Have Spurs bought Gallagher? Says Amit, yes. Justin says, cheers, Mark. In a time full of chaos with the club, I appreciate you and your team and the consistency. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for being part of the community. Jordan says, hi, Mark. How do you think Dalot and Dorgu will handle Doku and Semenyu? Also, Carragher and Gary said Amrim should have gone based off results. Yeah, but look, Beth said that. Many of you have said that. If they were in charge, I mean, that would be an interesting board, wouldn't it? Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville and Beth. Then I think Amrim would have been sacked on results. And I think we would have all sat there and gone, well, I don't agree with that, or I do agree with that. You could have sacked him on results. You could have sacked him on results. That, you know, absolutely. But where I fight those opinions is, you're not the CEO, you're not the owner, and he wasn't sacked on results. He was sacked because the owners tried to make him change his formation and wouldn't buy him players in January. And that's bang out of order. So I acknowledge you could have sacked him on results, but he wasn't sacked on results. So if I acknowledge you, can you now say, Gary or Jamie or Beth, how ridiculous it is that he was sacked because they tried to change his formation and he wanted transfers because they weren't sacking him on results? So you can go, well, he should have been, but they didn't. He was sacked because he called them out and they wanted him to change his formation and they wouldn't back him in January, which is ridiculous. So I respect the fact that some people think he should have been sacked on results, but that's not why he was sacked. And people keep bringing it up, but it's not relevant because that's not what happened. I also think as well, and, you know, if they're allowed to say this, I can say that. I can say that. If they're going to say that, I can say this. I think we would have beat Burnley if we kept Amrim, and I think we would have beat Brighton. And I think we would have got top six. Poch on the left, done that one from Kay, done that one as well. When is Dalot back, Mark? Says Dylan. I've got no idea. I've got no idea what's going on with Dalot. Man United is like the Bermuda Triangle when it comes to injuries. You go into it and you never get any information out. I don't know why. I don't know why we've not been told what the injury is. I don't know when he's going to be back. I don't think we know what the injury is, do we? I don't think we know. United are terrible at that. They just won't tell anybody anything. And I don't know what the advantage is because I don't think many people have Man United on the horizon and go, oh, is Dalot going to be back? I think they're more looking at other ways that they can expose us. And it's a shame because I think up until his injury, you could argue that Dalot had been our best player this season. And I imagine how many points we might have picked up over Christmas, December, if Amrim had Dalot as well. I mean, it's not really an excuse, but there was a lot of times where we were picking Martinez, who'd just come back from injury, and Heaven, who's a kid. No Mazraoui, no Dalot, no Maguire. Never really gets spoken about, does it? It's a back injury, apparently, and he'll be back for the Arsenal games, as Richard, potentially. How will we win the next two games? Unimaginable, says Amit. I think if you're an experienced fan of football, Man United at home to Manchester City in a Manchester derby with a new manager, I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that we get a result in that. I really don't. Since Van Gaal, the length of manager stints has gotten lower and lower. Where's the vision? Where's the backing? One repeated factor, the ownership. Yeah, Matthew, look, I think it's probably not a problem for now. And this is why you need ownership. This is, well, there's multiple reasons why we need new ownership, right? But I do think that what we've done with Amrim is going to cause a huge problem because our fan base has very different opinions in it. There's been people saying Amrim out since last March. You know it. After Grimsby, there's people going, get him out of my club, right? He's been sacked with basically a year. the message from the board is, we will start a project and sack a manager in 12 months. So normally, you might go, well, I'm not sure about this manager, but we know he's going to get at least 2.5 years. The psychology of the fan base now is, I'm not sure about this manager. They have sacked managers after 12 months. Get him out. So idiotically, they've just shortened the time any manager gets now. Because we know the board, not the players. The players didn't sack the manager. The fans didn't sack the manager. Normally, you'll get the players downing tools and the fans saying sack him, and the board have to make their mind up. This time, the board sacked him of their own accord. The players and the fans were like, what? So they've said, we will sack a manager after 12 months. So every manager we have now under this regime, realistically, if you don't like the first few games, you can start going, it ain't right, I've given up. And whose fault's that? The club. I don't ever want to hear the club going, oh, you know, it's impossible to achieve anything at this football club because the fans put too much pressure on. You sacked the manager after 12 months, not the fans. At the point of Amorim being sacked, I'd say 60% were Amorim in and 40% were Amorim out. So that's not enough. The players weren't downing tools. The club sacked a manager after 12 months. So the next manager, if it's not going well after five, you will see people going, sack him, sack him, sack him. And that's another reason why we need a new regime, because the trust is gone. You can't believe in anything now because even they don't believe in it. It's just broken, as many people have said. Kev said, really happy to be part of this community. This is the best fan channel. Others just push narrative. Well, I don't know about that, Kev. Look, each to their own. It's absolutely fine. And we do need unity. But you're very welcome here. Thank you very much. Martinez, as holding in the middle is the way forward with Cobby. Bruno is the 10. Best from what we have to choose from, says Andy. I don't disagree with you, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I think Casemiro will get picked. De Ligt didn't hold the door for Wilcox, so they locked him in the choke. I don't know what that is, one inch wonder. Thank you very much. When's the preview? When is the preview? I don't know. Because it was Saturday lunchtime, isn't it? I don't know. I haven't even considered when the preview is yet, to be honest. So I will have to think about that, of course. But I know Premier League predictions is going up on That's Football Today because I recorded it yesterday with Robbie because we couldn't do it tomorrow. So I know that's happening. Anyway, thank you so much for getting involved. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. We're back at 2 o'clock. We've got the 8 o'clock show tonight as well. And I will speak to you all a little bit later. You've got me thinking about the preview now. I might try and get the preview about that. Okay, thanks so much. Take care, everyone. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.